Good morning, Rabbi. So we are continuing here in the Fayyus Levavais, in the Shaar V'Tachin. And we actually finished the Hakdama, and now we're into the seven Prakim of the Shaar V'Tachin. And the Baal Fayyus Levavais tells us that the following seven subjects will be discussed. He finds it necessary to give us a to tell us in advance what's happening. He's a very organized person. And he tells us, he wants to tell us what B'tachin is all about. Number one, that's the first chapter. Number two is what brings a person to B'tachin. Number three, why a person must have B'tachin B'Hashem. It's inescapable. Number four, certain things you should be B'tachin, and there's certain places you shouldn't. And number five, to describe the difference between the person who goes to work to make a living with B'tachin or goes to work without B'tachin. There's two different ways of making a living. And the sixth chapter is to describe the disadvantage of those people who think that first they'll spend their life in being Isaac and Tivus Islam. They'll first spend their time getting money, getting rich, and having a good time. And then, if they've had a good time, then if the Hashem has done for them, they'll do for Hashem. He calls these people the kat, the sect of those who are loikhei hamashkon, people who take a mashkon on God, they take a security. If God will give them a security deposit, then then later on they'll come and serve Hashem. And the seventh chapter is describing those things that can make a person lose his B'tachin. So we're about to learn chapter one, but right of this week, the Toldos Avraham Yitzchak Rebbe was telling me, he reminded me of the word of the Toldos Yankov Yosef in Parshas Mishpatim, who says that his Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, taught him that before the Rebbe Shalom ever chas v'shalom punishes anybody, the first thing Rabbi Shalom does is Rabbi Shalom and them to the midas habitachon from the mensch. It's not shy for the Rabbi Shalom to punish someone as long as they're holding on the madrega bitachon, because bitachon is a protective shield. So before the beginning of any punishment is that the Rabbi Shalom takes away a person bitachon. Now the more I think about this, I have a big question on this. Because we have the rule of a kol b'dei shemayim, chutz mi'ir shemayim. Right? Everything is in the hands of Hashem except for your shemayim. So how can it be that the Rebbe Shalom takes away someone's bitachon? Bitachon, it's mine. It's your shemayim. This you can't take away. If you can't take my your shemayim away from me, I can take my bitachon away from me. So, I have to look into that, told this Yankov Yosef. But if I'll understand it as kipshuto, the pshat is vayis that bitachon is really a big gift. It's like the Rambam says, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Gabei Tshuva, that by Paro, Hashem does not interfere with a person Bechira Chavshis. Paro chose to sin, but once he sinned, he wants to do Tshuva. Tshuva is a gift. And Hashem can taka harden his heart. They shouldn't have Tshuva. That's not interfering with Bechira Chavshis, because he chose to sin already. And the same thing, Isaac B'Tachon is also a gift from Hashem. There are certain things that are gifts, Siat Deshmaya, and Yat Nizoycha to that. Because that B'tachon Hashem really is not rational. To have more faith in Hashem than you have to walk in the street with 15 armed guards. So I'd rather walk with Hashem than walk with 1,500 armed guards, with 15 Sherman tanks in front of me and 15 Abrams tanks behind me and 17 helicopters, Apache helicopters on top of me. I'd rather walk into Ramallah, into East Jerusalem, right, with an anti-Arab slogan hanging on top of me, with B'tachon B'Hashem, then be surrounded by 15 tanks. Of course, he said B'tachon doesn't count, so maybe that's a crazy thing to do. But the point is that being a danger, I'm not selecting for myself. B'tachon B'Hashem really is better than any physical force. So to have that madrega is a gift from Hashem. So he says if Hashem wants to punish somebody, the first thing Hashem does is take away the gift of B'tachon. We'll discuss that perhaps another time in greater depth. So Perek Aleph, the first chapter of the Chayvus Levavos, very short chapter. And the Baal Chayvus Levavos says, okay, let me describe again. Let's have it again. What is Bitochen? Bitochen, he says, is Menuchas HaNefesh. Bitochen is peace of mind. If you don't have peace of mind, you don't have Bitochen. And Bitochen is that the Rabbanei Shlomo knows absolutely what's good for me. Hashem knows it better than I know what's good for me. I'm totally in the hands of Hashem. And I have Bitochen Gemura that anything that Hashem promises in the Torah, He will definitely fulfill. And Hashem will do things He never promised me, because Hashem knows what I want best, and Hashem is going to take good care of me. I have nothing to worry about. So Bitochen, in a nutshell, he says, is peace of mind and tranquility. Derech Agav, it's good to mention, in this Midah Bitochen, the beautiful Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem Ches, Amud Aleph, Gemara tells the story over there of Abai of a Rava, who were learning in front of Rava, who was Abai's uncle. And the Gemara says that they were children yet, they were little kids, very little kids, and he asked them, he was learning Hitler's bracha to them, and he says, who do you make a bracha to? And they both said, to Rachmana, to the Rabbanei Shalom, Rachmana. So then the Rebbe, now it's interesting that Rabba was Isaac with such little children. Evidently you see from here that when this is Gedolei Amoraim, well, Abaye wasn't such a kash, I guess it was his nephew and his ward. Abaye was his ward. So he's teaching Abaye, teaching a good chavrusa Rabba along with him. He's in the basics. And he says, so where's Rachmana? So you can imagine how little these children were asking such a question. So Rava just points up to the ceiling. High, points up to the sky. You know, just straight up. Abaye goes outside of the room, the cheder, and he points up to the sky. So he said, you're both going to be great, Talmidei Chachamim. Boots and boots and mikat v'yediyah. And this people say, the folks saying that little pumpkins are known from their first blossom. You can tell how big the pumpkin is going to be and how good the pumpkin is going to grow from the, you see the first little blossom, little bud. So, why was Robinson on the spoil over here? Because he saw what makes a great Rav, a great teacher, someone who not merely teaches but also illustrates. So they have the power of illustration. They didn't stop and say, the Rabbi Shlomo's in heaven. They pointed, they gave an illustration. So that's why he said, oh, you'll be great Rabbanim someday. You can illustrate and bring to life. But why did Rava just point up to the ceiling and Abaye went out and pointed to the sky? So the Halak of Divri Yecheskel, the Shinever, the son of the Tzanzer, says, Val to Gavard. He said the pshat is that really the best illustrations are not just illustrations, but illustrations from one's own experience, from your own life. Bitochen b'Hashem means that I know that I'm totally in the hands of Hashem. But most people, they don't get their support from Hashem absolutely directly. They're intermediaries. So for instance, a child. How can a child say totally batuah b'Hashem? So last time my son asked me for a $50 bill, I mean, I should have told him, just, you know, go to the heavenly celestial ATM machine and ask Hashem. But somehow he knows that Hashem sends the shefa of his parnasa through me. I can't tell him that. So he has great faith in Hashem. He has faith in Hashem that Hashem can send it to him through me, his local ATM. He doesn't have to drive down the block to New York Bank. He just comes to the Foyer Bank and Trust Company. I'm his trust company. So he has been talking about Hashem, that Hashem will send it through that. Very nice. But, so Rava was a normal person. He had a normal family. So then when Rava said, when the Rebbe, Rava asked, where's Hashem? Rava pointed to the ceiling. That means, I know Hashem's in Shemayim, but there's a ceiling, there's an umbrella, there is a barrier between me and Hashem, and that is, I have a normal umbrella that a child has, I have parents. So it comes through the ceiling, it comes through the roof of the house. It's not directly from Hashem. It's coming through somebody. Abaya was a kailach Yosef. Abaya was a Yosef from all sides. He had no father, had no mother, the Gemara says. His father died when his mother got pregnant, his mother died at birth. That's why Rabba was to be metapa with him. But he really was a Yosef. And his name, Abaya, the Rosh Tevis, Abaya the Rosh Tevis, Asher Becho Yerucham Yosom. That was his name. That's why he got that name. Alav Beis Yud Yud. He was a Yosem. His Messias was a Yosem. And he constantly said over things he heard from his nursemaid. Because really, he was really brought up by a nursemaid. He didn't have parents. So therefore, Abaya, who had no parental umbrella, he went outside and pointed to the sky to show that my experience with Hashem is that there's no roof over my head. There's no guarantee. I don't have parents hovering over me. When I need a $50 bill, I have to go straight to the Rabbanu Shlom. There's no intermediary. There's no roof over my head. So everybody experiences be talking based on their level. So it could be Abaya Taka with a big Rachman as being a total Yosem, but on the other hand, being a total Yosem gave him the opportunity to have a higher level of Bitalkan and a more intimate and unimpeded relationship with the Rabbanu Shlom. So Bitalkan is peace of mind. Perek Beis. So here, the Chavos Levavos Kedarko, I would have loved to have met the Chavos Levavos. Such an analytical mind. Nothing by him. He doesn't stop and say anything. Everything by him is broken down, compartmentalized. Everything is analyzed. There's no Sefer like it. No Sefer like the Chavos Levavos. Everything is analyzed. I told my Shver, my Rebbe, Rav Gifter, he should live me well, said that his Rebbe that tells the Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Bluch, Zecher Tzadik Bracha, Hashem Yimkom Dama, his Rebbe said that he learned his derech and learning and analysis of Gemara from the analytical approach of the Chavos Levavos. So the Chavos Levavos says, okay, let's analyze it. If a human being were to have put his faith in another human being, because everybody puts faith in something. Well, no one lives on their own. We all put faith in something. We need something, some other force outside of ourselves to get it through. So if we were looking for the ultimate person to help us, he says, we would have to find seven, that person has to have seven prerequisites in order to be worthy that I should give him over my full security. And briefly he says like this. Number one, if I would just be some other human being, that person would have to love me a lot. He'd have to love me and have rachmanas on me and really care a lot about me. And I would have to feel that this person loves me so much, no matter what I want from him, it's not tirchei, he's not bothered, he's not annoyed. And someone could love you but get annoyed, you know? See, your wife loves you, but they ask her for a steak at 2 o'clock in the morning, she might get a little bit annoyed. So it has to be someone that loves you that much. I'm sure your wife loves you that much, but us regular people, you know. So the first thing is the person has to love you a lot to the point where nothing would annoy, they'll do anything for you. Number two, this person, you have to know this person not only loves you a lot, but they love you so much that they think about you day and night. Oh, day and night and night and day. They just don't stop thinking about you. And they're always thinking what they can do good for you. That's all they're thinking about all day and all night. What can I do for my dear husband? I can't wait. It wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning so I can make him that steak. So she already has the steak in the freezer, already seasoned, ready to go. She's waiting for the opportunity. She's woken up at 2 o'clock. She's begging for the opportunity to do this for you. So that you want someone to be samachana, be somebody who's thinking about you day and night, night and day. You know anybody like that? Except for your Rav. And number three, the person can think about you day and night, night and day, but if they have no koyach, it's not going to help you very much. So again, if your wife can't cook, it's not going to help you very much. She's thinking about making a steak at 2 o'clock in the morning because she can't cook. She doesn't know the first thing about steaks. So if she doesn't have a cook, it's not going to help you. And if she has no koyach to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, if Chas V'Shalom is someone bedridden, if someone has no koyach, what's going to help all the good intentions? All the good intentions aren't going to help. You have to be able to do it. So the person has to have the intellectual capacity and the physical capacity to do all these great things for you. And number four, the person has to know what's really good for you. So is it really good for you to get a steak at 2 o'clock in the morning? So it's not enough that you should think about giving you steaks. You don't need steaks at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's too much cholesterol, it's too fatty the steak, you like the steak. What if they want to give you a cigarette at 2 o'clock in the morning? It's not good for you. So it's not enough that they should love you and think about you and want to help you but they don't know what's good for you. If they think what's good for you is something that's really bad, it's not good. The rate to run down to the 7-Eleven to get your pack of cigarettes in the middle of the night, but it's not good for you, a pack of cigarettes. So they have to know better than you know what's good for you. Number five, in order for them really to do things for you, they have to be your exclusive caretaker. Exclusive caretaker, because you have two caretakers, and one do like this. One guy says yes, cigarettes. One guy says no, cigarettes. Or one guy says yes, take no, steak. It's no good. It has to be that you're exclusively in their hands, and they have total. They can do whatever the right thing for you without interference. And they know you from beginning to end. By the way, they have to have known you all the time, and that's exactly what they know is good for you, because they know that. They know you from day one. They know you from before day one. They know you from conception. So since they know you so intimately, they really know what's good for you. They have the whole picture. And again, this person has to also be able to protect you. Not only are they going to do good things for you, the person would have to be able to be protective, that they would absolutely be able to protect you if anybody would want to hurt you. And they have to be stronger than everybody else. So that not only they're strong to do good for you, they have to be stronger than any force or person that would want to harm you. That's number six. And number seven, this person, number seven, it would really again have and temporary, but they are permanent and they are forever. It never stops. In order to have faith in them, it's not enough to say, well, I know, wow, they've done in the past, but they'll probably do it. You have to be that this person, you have full confidence that this person is consistent and persistent and it'll never, never end. These are the seven things you'd have to look for in somebody to be your ultimate caretaker, that you fully have the trust in them at all times. So, says the Chavis Lavavis, if you'll think about it, you'll know that it's absolutely impossible to find any human being that will fulfill all these conditions. Seven conditions. Only he could figure out. If I give you a pencil and paper today, you figure out the seven conditions. You wouldn't even know where to start. I wouldn't know where to start. He says the Rabbeinu Shlailam fulfills all seven conditions, and he brings a wealth of sukkim to prove each and every condition. And he says the Rabbeinu Shlailam, first of all, the first condition was, if you want faith in somebody, they have to love you. Love you, Gevaltik. No. It says, Racham Echan Hashem. Hashem loves us. Now, Racham always means that unconditional. Racham is unconditional love. Racham means that, and, by the way, Kirachim Aval Banim. Fathers love their children more than mothers love their children. That's the first thing you have to know. But that's another subject. The father's love is more consistent than the mother's love. Kirachim Aval Banim. That's a clear thing. We're learning Gemara Sanhedrin right now. We're about to learn after this year. We have the Sirin Sanhedrin. We're learning the Sugya of Machteres, where the Torah says that if a son should dig a tunnel to break into his father's house, so you have every reason to believe that a son will kill his father for money. The kids aren't old enough yet, you see. You'll learn this rule. For money, so if a kid could kill his father for money, but a father would break into his son's house, he will not kill his son for money. Number one, fathers love their children more than children love their fathers. So the Achrayim of Shaila, how about a mother? The Gemara speaks about a father. What about a mother? What if a mother would break into her son's house for money? It's not so pashut. A mother might kill for the money. The father might, the father's not. A father's Rachmanis is bigger because they're Gerachim of Abana. That's why we always put the Rabbanish Dom in a male figure, despite the feminist tendencies to make the Rabbanish Dom above all genders. Because that's why the Rabbanish Dom put it into fathers to have more Rachmanis, because the fathers are an illustration of Hashem's Rachmanis. At any rate, so Rachmanis means really unconditional. Because Rachmanis means that I know that you have mistakes, I know that you have flaws, but I mean, I accept it all. It's more than just love. Where you're not made properly, it's not a total repudiation of your metzias. So in other words, we mentioned this once that the Baal HaTanya says, the only way to transform your sinna, if we chas v'shalom hate our fellow Jew, very easy thing to do and a hard thing to break, So how do you break sinas chinam? The only way is, he says, I love you, I don't love you. The only way is, you have to start with rachmanis. Rachmanis means, as I say, Ramash Rachmanis, the person talk is very nasty to me. But, that very same person is so nasty and so callous and so indifferent to me, to other people they're very, very nice. So why does he treat me so badly? So that means that, really, he's a person who has good qualities and there's love in this person, but for some reason, either he's not zayecha to give it to me, I'm not zayecha to get it, and his love is in galus. So I have rachmanis on him, Nebuch, that his love is really misguided, because he's very nice to everybody, to the person he really should be nice to. I believe he should be nice to me, there's every reason he should be nice to me. He's not. So I have rachmanis that his love is so, and his whole behavior is so off base. But I don't hate the person, I just have rachmanis, it's a Nebuch. So the Rabbeinu Shlom has rachmanis on us, which means, no matter what we do, he doesn't hate us. A Russia, perhaps, a person is a Russia Marusha, even a Russia Marusha, the Rabbeinu Shalom still keeps alive, but the Rabbeinu Shalom, the average person merely makes mistakes. Hashem has rachmanis at all times. So Hashem loves us, and like I told Yonah, you were chas on this kikoyon, you had such rachmanis on this green plant that was hanging over you, giving you shade, and when it shriveled up, you felt so bad, and I shouldn't feel bad for a whole city of Nineveh. I made this city, it's my creations, I know them, and they're precious to me despite their misdeeds. So, number one, Hashem has rachmanis, no matter, even if it's unconditional love, despite our betraying Him. Number two, the Rabbeinu Shlom thinks about us day and night, night and day. Hashem thinks about us more than we think of ourselves, because we go to sleep. And the Rabbeinu Shlom never sleeps. As it says in Tehillim, Hinei la yonam v'la yishan, Shamei Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Shlom is a Shamei Yisrael, and he never sleeps from that role. That role Hashem never gives up. Hashem is watching us all the time. Day and night, we're asleep, we can't take care of ourselves. The Rabbeinu Shlom is watching right over our beds, singing lullabies, cradling us. Hinei la yonam v'la yishan, Shamei Yisrael. And the Rabbeinu Shlom, when he's awake, he knows exactly what's good for us, really. And therefore the Rabbeinu Shlom is not running to get us a pack of cigarettes. The Rabbeinu Shlom is only running to give us a good thing. He knows really what's good for us. I might want a pack of cigarettes. If I don't get it, it's good for me. And the Rabbeinu Shlom, no one can fight with the Rabbeinu Shlom. Hashem is stronger than anybody else. And the Rabbeinu Shlom has the koyach to do anything he thinks we need, he can get it for us. He is our only manik. There's not two caretakers, only one caretaker, the Rabbeinu Shalom. Hashem knows us from the beginning of our physical being and sojourn. Hashem knows us from the moment of conception. Hashem knows everything. Hashem is our father. He acquired us. He made us. He established us. Hashem is everything. And like it says in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, count many times he says, Alecha nesmachti mi beten, mimei imi goziyata. David HaMelech says that, I'm with your Rabbeinu Shlom from the mother's womb, from my mother's innards already you were taking care of me. So you know me from way back when. And there's very, very many psukim throughout Tanakh bring out the idea that Hashem took care of us from the beginning of our embryonic development. And the Rabbeinu Shlom, he can protect us, no one else can. Again, he repeats a few things here. The Rabbeinu Shlom, only good things, he knows what's good for us, he only wants what's good for us. And the main thing, the Rabbeinu Shlom also never stops. The Rabbeinu Shlom, we can count him forever. He's consistent. He's not going to just someday go on vacation and disappear or get disenchanted with us like our friends do. The Rabbeinu Shlom never gets disenchanted. As long as we're around, as long as we're a Nivra, there's a Borei. For as long as we endure in this creation, the Creator takes care of us. Finished. From the beginning of our creation, till as long as our creation exists, the Creator never gives up. And he really, the Chesed Hashem is for everything. It's not just for us Jews. It's not just the human beings, Goyim. It's not just for mammals. And it's not just for the big elephants. The Rebbe Shlom takes care of every little worm and every little amoeba and every algae and the smallest spore and the smallest cell. The Rebbe Shlom is Toiv Hashem Lakol. V'racham aval kol ma'asav. Azayv mizach nashra yed and talk. Hashem is good to everybody. And his racham on everything he created. And he never stops thinking about everything. Day and night. Noyisin lechem l'chol basa. Ki l'olam chastoy. Peseach es yedecho. Mazbir l'chol chai ratzom. So he says, look, it's pashut. You don't have to bring Rav from Sukkim. He says, it's pashut azoy. That we have no greater friend than the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And he concludes Perek Beis, as we will right now. So therefore, you should know that we have no better caretaker than Hashem. No one comes close. So therefore, Hashem is our caretaker. Be smart and give yourself over to Hashem's care. Give him all your cares. Let him care for you. There's nothing to worry about today. You have any worries? I just saved you $200 by a therapist. You can get rid of all your worries. Hashem is your caretaker. It's free. The price is right. Leave it to him. And listen, he says, listen, v'lo yisyaches l'dinav v'chshad. And never, don't deal with Hashem's din. If Chas v'Shalom person sees that Hashem is, the life is harsh, and life is rough, do not have any doubts about God. Don't suspect him for a minute that he is beating up on you. Don't complain on anything Hashem brings you. Have you ever David HaMelech said in Tehillim, he says, Kais Yeshua Sasa, Hashem Shemekra. When there's Yeshua, I lift up the cup of salvation and I thank the name of Hashem. And right there in the same capital, Kufte Zion, David says, Sorev Yagin Emza, if Chas V'Shalom, I should find problems, tzoras, misery, Hashem Hashem Ekra, I call out to Hashem, I thank Hashem in the same way, because it's the same Rebbeinu Shalom, same love, nothing has changed, Hashem never changes, and I don't suspect Hashem. I never asked any questions when it was good. No one asks questions when it's good, why would I deserve the good? No one ever asks any questions, why does it come to me such good? Excel, great, I have a great God, He knows what's good for me. So too, when it's not so good, a person should realize that there's no doubts about Hashem. No doubts about Hashem. You know that Hashem is true blue. Any human being you can imagine in life is true blue. Your mother, your father, your wife, whoever it is, your children you think are so true blue, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is more true than anybody, than any entity in the world. Have no shalei yisyaches ladina b'chshad. Don't ever allow any suspicion to creep into your mind that maybe the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is playing games with me, maybe the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't like me, maybe the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is abandoning me, whatever, Hashem, it's perfect. Hatzur, Tamim, Pa'aloi, the rock of ages, everything he does is perfect, Kichol, the rock of Mishpat, everything he does is fair and square and equitable, and Hashem knows exactly what he's doing, and therefore this is the Yisrael of Yitachon, have no cares, Hashem loves us, peace of mind. This is where we end up today. Okay, gentlemen, we'll stop here today. We'll see you next week, Mitzvah Hashem.